Okay, we're picking up the Gemara Lamed Aleph with the words of Tnan Hasam. So where we're discussing the Mishnah Chulin, the Mishnah over there is talking about the halachas of a treifa. We know a treifa is an animal or a bird that has a life-threatening injury. That's something that is going to make it usher to eat it, even if you sheft it properly. It's considered something which is usher. The Torah tells you that it's usher to eat such an animal. So the Mishnah tells us that there's three things. Even though there is the wound, you don't even see the wound necessarily, it's going to be considered that the animal suffered what's called a risuk evarim. A risuk evarim is that the organs internally are problematic. And the Mishnah tells us over there with that introduction, if someone stamped on a bird, osha tarfa bakosar, knocked it against the wall, osha ratza behema, of the animal crushed it in mefarkesis, and it's still, it's like moving around, right? But it's not able to stand. Rashi says v'shasam eislis v'shafta, and it remained alive for 24 hours, and then you shafted it. So the mission tells you then it's kshira. It is going to be okay. It has to last for 24 hours, so you know that it wasn't a treifa. It wasn't something that fundamentally had a defect or tremum, which would make it usher for you to eat. So you have to wait the 24 hours. And where's the Amar Rabbi Elazar? Rabbi Yonah, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tignas, tzricha b'dika. The bird requires a check after shechta to make sure that there's no internal injuries. Again, you need it. According to Rabbi Elazar, you need Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yonah. He says you need two different things. A, you need it to be alive for 24 hours, and B, you need it to check its organs internally to find out that it's not a treifa. So if it didn't survive for 24 hours, obviously then it's going to be a treifa. And if you have the other point, if you have these ribs broken or something like that, Rashi says, then it's going to be something also, after you shef, there's also going to be aser. So the Gemara says, "Boy, so what about shechting an animal like this? Shechting an animal like this on Yantiv after it lives for 24 hours. So what's the problem? Because mimachzina rusa biyomtiv alo. Do we assume generally we're allowed to shech the animal because you're allowed to eat it? If you do the malacha totally for not for the purpose of the yomtiv we mentioned already a few times, that would be an iser doraisa. That would be an iser doraisa. So over here, generally we have a chazaka that the animal is totally kosher and there's no problem with shechting it over here. But in general, however, over here the different question over here is that here you're checking, and Rashi also pointed out, you check the lungs generally to make sure it's not a treifa. That's again, the chazaka is that it's not going to be a treifa, so that's going to be okay after you shecht it. That's not a problem. However, when it came to a bird that you were doris on and you trampled on it, there's a much higher chance that it's a treifa, so therefore that's a shayla gemara. So do we assume there's a really a high enough chance to assume this malacha that you'll be doing is mamash and eser doresa, and therefore you'd not be allowed to shecht it on yantiv or not? So the gemara answers, Amalei Reb Zeira responded to Reb Yirmiya, Tanina, we learn from our mission, we can bring a proof. Because what our mission is saying, you're not allowed to heat the tiles in order to roast them. So the Gemara asked, Vavina, but we asked on this already earlier. The Gemara asked on yesterday's af, on Amud Beis, my Kavid, what is he doing by doing this? And we gave an answer. In the name of Rabbi Yochanan, we said that the Hacha Barafim Chadashim is going to be dealing with a case of new tiles, and when you heat them, it's going to be usher because you're testing them. In the case, the mission is ushering to heat the tiles, the possibilities they may crack. Since the same thing with regards to, it's only a possibility, you're not sure that they're going to crack. So if they cracked, what's the problem? Then I violated the halacha. If it didn't crack, then I didn't violate the halacha. So why do we machmir? We see that even if it's a suffix, if it's a high chance that something will happen, you're not allowed to do that malacha, and therefore it would be usher. We're afraid that it's going to crack. Same thing would be with regards to the bird. We assume it's going to be a treifa. Maybe it'd be a treifa, a high chance it's a treifa, and therefore you're not allowed to shecht it on yomtiv. So the Gemara says, Amar Lei, Rabbi Yirmiyah responds to Rabbi Zira, Anam Mipnei Tzarech Lechasman and Minasin Lam. Wait a second, that we had a shadow. What exactly what was the issue? We learned out that the reason that the mission said it's us are because we're afraid that it's going to harden them, and that is for sure going to happen. If you harden them, that's going to be tikkun mane, and that would be something that's going to make it usher, and therefore that case is not comparable to the case of the bird where you're suffic, it's a treifa, not because it's a suffic. Here, there is a vada that you needed to harden them. Once you harden them, you've completed it, and that would make it usher, and that's why it's usher to do it on yomtiv. So then the Mishnah says, Tanya, we learn in a braisa, echad mevi es ha'ur, someone who brings the fire, ve'echad mevi es ha'itim, someone who brings the wood, ve'echad shofes es ha'kadera, one places an empty pot into position, ve'echad mevi es ha'mayim, someone who brings the water and places the water into the pot, ve'echad nosim besuch ha'tavim, someone who adds spices to it, ve'echad megi, someone stirs the pot with a ladle, kulam chayav, here we're talking about Hilchos Shabbos. And all of these malachas are going to, all of these people are going to be chayav for separate malachas. Each individual did a different malacha. The one who brings the fire, he's going to be mavir, because the coal flares up as you're bringing it through the air, so you're considered mavir, considered adding to the heat. The second one who's bringing wood and adding it to, obviously, is also going to be chayav mavir. One who's putting the one who's going to be putting in the water is going to be l'chora chayav for mevashel. And that's the shayla about the empty pot. What's exactly the guy going to be doing? But this actually is a raya. The Rambam writes that someone who is mevashel water is going to be chayav on Shabbos mitzad mevashel. And the Rambam writes that if the shira is lasuch ever katan. So the Kesef Mishnah quotes from the Ramach. Where did the Rambam get that there's any chayav? Where do I, water was water beforehand, and water that's hotter now, you haven't changed its status. When I fundamentally cook something, I understand that's mevashel, that it's something wasn't edible, now it's edible, or it's a shayla, okay, within the getting into halachas of bishul so much, but end of the day, that's the halachas that get at arm of bishul. The same exact water is now just much hotter. Where do I know that there's a halacha of mevashel? The Gemara never says that it applies necessarily clearly to water. So the Achronim bring down over here, I think the Prichadash brings for a raya from the Rambam for this Gemara. It seems to be fairish that someone who puts water into the pot is going to be chayav. What's he chayav for? Because there's a chayav mevashel. There's a raya of fairish or a Gemara like the Rambam that you'd be chayav for mevashel of the water, cooking water, and that was where the Rambam gets it from this Gemara right over here. So either way, the Gemara asks about Tani. Wait a second. The Braisa says only Achron Chayav, only the last person in this whole process that you mentioned, the four different things that people are doing, only the last one's going to be Chayav. Vikulan Turin, however, everyone else is going to be Pater from punishment. So previous Braisa said everyone's Chayav, and this one's telling us that everyone is Pater. So which is it? So the Gemara answers Lo Kasha. There's not a problem. Had Aisi Ur Meikar. The case of the Braisa, which tells us they're all going to be Chayav, is talking about a case where the fire was brought first. In that case, everyone performed the Malach, as we just mentioned. Each one is Chayav. The Mavir, then Chayav Mevashel. Each one is Chayav. Had Aisi Ur Levasof. And the case of the Braisa, which is telling us that only the last person is going to be Chayav, is talking about the case that the fire was only brought at the end. In that case, the putting the pot and the water and those things is not violating any Malach, because the stove wasn't lit yet. The Braisa is telling us that it's Pater Lachor because it's still an Isidur Abundant. Because you'd eventually be doing, you see that someone about to do malacha, so that's why it's going to be lechor esur derabanan. But it's definitely not going to be asur malacha deraisa because you didn't do anything yet. The fire wasn't lit. So the Gemara says bishlam makulu. So now I understand all these cases in the braisa are going to be chayav kav demaisa because you're doing a malacha, you're violating an esur deraisa. However, when it comes to the kav demaisa, la shofes akadira, someone who puts the empty pot in the position, my kavod, what malacha did he do? So the answer is number of Shimon Lakish, Hacha Gveder Chagadash Askinim. It's asking a case of a new pot, and therefore Mishum Libun Refaim Laguba, and the Israel is here, you're heating the tiles, and that's going to be us, or you're hardening the pot, and that is going to be the problem over here, that the heating the pot is going to be what the initial heating the pot is going to be the Israel over here. So the Gemara says, Tanar Rabban, we learn in a Braisa, Tanar V'Kiraim Chadash, if you have a new oven or a stove, Kiraim is usually a double stove, and then a Tanar is just an oven. Harayin, they're like any utensil. They're allowed to be taken in the courtyard. Why aren't they mukta? You're not allowed to cook and bake on Shabbos. I would have thought it's a klisha machta isser here. We're talking about a case because you use the oven. Apparently, you want to use it for a storage, and therefore, even if you want to assume it's a klisha machta isser, then you're planning on using it letzorach gufo at their purpose of using it. That's like that classic example of using a hammer to crack open a nut. That's going to be mutter. So too over here, you're allowed to use this oven. Generally, it's a klisha machta isser. You generally use it for baking, which is also on Shabbos. However, if I'm using it for storage, that would be mutter. Aval ein sachen usan shem. You're not allowed to smear oil on it in order to shine them or to smooth them. V'ein tashin osan b'matlis, you're also not allowed to rub them with a cloth because we're afraid the cloth is going to rip. V'ein refagin osan b'tona k'de l'chasm, you're also not allowed to cool them with cold water in order to harden them. After being heated for the first time, the oven has cooled down, and that would be a problem of korin terashi tikkun mane, of mesakin mane, of perfecting and completing a utensil, which is an iser on Shabbos, potentially an iser d'oraisa, depending on the circumstances. Here, l'chor v'habi, maybe an iser shayla of an iser d'oraisa. V'ein b'shvil la'afos reza mutter, but if they're being cooled down or trying to bake, then it's going to be permitted. What do I mean, bake? Obviously, we're not talking about, we just move now without telling us. We're moving on to the lachos of Yantiv now because we're talking about not Shabbos. Obviously, baking is usher, but we're talking about a Yantiv. And we moved on to discussing the lachos of Yantiv now. If they're being cooled down in order to bake, that in the lachos Yantiv, that would be permitted. Now the Gemara says, Tanar Banu Ilan Rabbi, some molgenes roshers are gliding. You're allowed to burn the head and the legs of an animal in water. They used to have the process before cooking the head and the legs of the animal. They would first put them in boiling water to remove the hair. And that malacha is done for makshir ochel nefesh, preparing the food, and therefore it's going to be permitted. So that would be the shayla. Mahavin is osam be'or. Also, you're allowed to singe their hair with fire. About in toklin osam becharisis. You're not allowed to cover them with charisis. Charisis is a type of lime which is used to help remove hairs. That's the issue. Nor can you move them with dirt or with plaster to remove removed the hair. Why is that an issue? Rashi says, because this is something which usually tanner used to remove the hides. People are going to think that it's asar on yantiv. Vein gozen osam esparim, same to the thing, you're not allowed to shear them with scissors because that appears like you're doing it to use the hairs, and removing it for to use the hairs would be the iser deraisa of gozes, and therefore that would be the shayla. Actually, that's section of machlokas. So when it comes to a den animal, there's a shayla and mishonim, whether or not removing is an iser deraisa or iser abundant to shear the animal when it's dead. When it's alive, for sure everyone agrees that that's gozes. The shayla when it's dead. So here we're talking about a den animal, the shayla would be whether it's deraisa or abundant, but either way, you're not allowed to be doing that malacha magozes. You're allowed to prepare kundis and achbaros. This lechor is a different halacha. That these type of vegetables, just there's a lot of tircha involved in making them. But still, I guess because there's a simchas yamtiv to eat them, you'd be allowed to. Masekhin olzim befurni, also allowed to light a fire and bake a large furnace on yamtiv. It was different than the general common ovens, and therefore again you would have thought that there's a tircha zera, but since you're preparing for your guest, that would be okay. Also allowed to heat up water in antichi. If you remember from Halacha Shabbos, we had this big, it was a big utensil used to keep water hot for a long time. I would have thought maybe you're heating it up for a week to use, which would be again an iser d'oraisa. But no, that's going to be mutter to use it. Vein ofen b'purnei chadash, you're also not allowed to bake in a large furnace which is new. Shema tifaches, because we're afraid it would crack. Since it never been used for a fire yet, we're afraid it's going to crack because it's not strong enough, and therefore you do a tircha yaseira, which would be a problem on yantiv. That's the problem over here. So then the Gemara says, "Tadar rabban v'lenar rabbeisa ein nofkin mafuch." You're not allowed to fan a fire with a type of a large type of fan. Well, she says this type of fan is something which is like a malacha kliuman, and which it looks like you're doing a malacha. Aval nofkin bishfoferis. You're allowed to fan it with a type of tube because that's nothing. No person who's a bal malacha, someone who's a uman, has never used that type of tube. You're not allowed to repair it with a spit either. This is going to consider the chora machshira ochel nefesh. The chora, that's going to be, Rashi points out, that the chora, maybe this is only following the opinion of the chachamim, who machshira ochel nefesh is asher. But if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, the chora, that would be mutter. That's one way to explain it. Other way to explain it, no, that even Rabbi Yehuda would say that over here is asher. Maybe we're talking about a case, we're making a new kimta, that the spit was asher or damaged before yamtiv, and therefore it could have been repaired, in which Rabbi Yehuda is moda, the malacha that was able to be fixed before yamtiv, you should not allowed to do machshira ochel nefesh. Either way, that's a shayla whether it was Rabbi Yehuda or not. Vein mechadin and also you're not allowed to sharpen it. So the Gemara says one more halacha. Tanur rabban whether another brisa. Ein mefatzin is hakani not allowed to crack a reed. Litzlos b'maleach in order to roast a salted fish. That again is a problem according to Rashi of tikkun mane. You're perfecting the utensil. You'd be finishing it. Av mefatzin is haegos b'matlis. You're allowed to crack open a nut with a cloth. We're not afraid that the cloth will tear. This halacha is going to be okay, even if it were to tear. Rashi points out because l'chora, if it were to tear, maybe in a zizra reisa and real chashash would be a problem. Maybe, however, since we're discussing a case where something is only maybe going to tear and tearing in order, if it's not almanas lit for, if it's not going to be in order to sew, that at worst is going to be an iser derabanan. And for that, we said that it's going to be okay because worst comes to worst, it will tear. Then you've violated only an iser derabanan. It's not 100% going to happen. Getting into the whole shayla, but that would be l'chora why it's okay. Now the Mishnah is continuing from previous halachas that we mentioned in the name of Rabbi Elazar. Ve'odam Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar said another halacha in addition to the halachas that he mentioned before. That Rabbi Elazar told us in the previous Mishnah, Lamed Gimel Alon Aleph, he had different kulas. So now we're adding to his level of kulas. Rashi is bothered by the Ve'odam Rabbi Elazar. How the context of our girsa, because this Lord doesn't follow what we said before, and based on the Gemara and Erevin, when you say Ve'od has to explicitly follow what we said before, so maybe our Mishnah is not considered that it should be in the Mishnayos of the correct text. But either way, Rabbi Lezer is adding to what he said before. Omed Adam ala Mukta, person may stand next to a food that's Mukta. Mukta over here is referring to him. If you mention, we had figs, if you remember that we had figs and grapes that we were setting them in the sun to dry. During the process, you've now made them unedible, and therefore they're going to be the status of mukta. So therefore, at that point, they're going to become mukta. And it depends on the owner. If you declared your intention to eat them, that would be okay. They would not be considered mukta. That's what the halacha we said before. So Erev Shabbos b'Shviyas on Friday during a Shviyas year. Why are we mentioning a Shviyas year? For first of all, what's the significance of Shviyas? It's a very, every time we mention Shviyas, I get excited because Baruch Hashem, we have the schus to be mekayim that mitzvah. Those who live in Eretz Yisrael to be mekayim the mitzvah of Shviyas this year. Albeit b'derabanan, according to most Rishonim, there are some Rishonim who hold that even b'zman hazeh Shviyas is deraisa, but we hold that it's derabanan. But the Torah tells us that in the seventh year that you're not allowed. That the shayla chora should cutzer exactly. What malachas you're allowed to do, but you're not allowed to work the fields. It's a very general malacha I'm saying right now. It depends on how it works, which malachas, etc., not ruining it. But you're not allowed to work the fields in the seventh year. And the same malacha, also malacha, is that you don't have to take off trumas amesos because really, all the foods that are growing are hefker. They're for everybody. And therefore, there obviously is no chiyuv to take off trumas amesos. So why is that important for our Mishnah? Because when you have fruit which is set to dry, it's generally going to be something which you need to take off Trumas and Maisos when it's completely ready. The issue of our Mishnah is therefore is not going to be relevant because when you're taking off Trumas and Maisos generally on Shabbos is Aser. However, this is going to become, Shvius is more applicable because Shvius, there is no issue of taking off Trumas and Maisos because you don't have to take off Trumas and Maisos. When it'll become ready, the only Shaila is going to be Mukta. That's what we're mentioning specifically Erev Shabbos and Shvius. We're going to get into this because the Mara is going to be Medayak about Erev Shabbos Shvius, but that's what we have to know for now for the Mishnah. Omer, and you establish Mikan on the ochel lamacha. From here, I will eat until tomorrow. Rabbi Elazar has two nekudas. Rashi points out the first is that an oral designation is enough to remove the mukta status. You don't have to actually physically move anything. And the second thing is that you don't have to specifically decide which produce you want because he holds the process of brera. Brera is retroactively clarifying which one you want. And so when I say all these fruits are I'm going to plan on using them, and I don't actually eat all the fruits. So let's say I have whatever 10 of those. Of those grapes or whatever it was that I put there to dry out, so that will not lemafreya retroactively show what I meant originally, and therefore it would show that it's okay. The chachamim on they disagree. Ad shir sham v'yomar, no, you have to mark it off, and you have to establish which ones you're eating mikan v'adkan from here until there, because they disagree. Rashi points out they disagree with the concept of brera, they reject the concept of brera, and therefore you have to specifically designate which ones you want to use. Halacha maisa, when it comes to deraisas, we are machmir that we don't allow brera. When it comes to dinner abundant, generally we'll allow a retroactive clarification of brera. So now, before we start, Rashi already introduces it. When it's Tino Kosher, Tino Teinim Erev Shabbos, I'll just mention it already now before we start the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Maisos is talking about the lachas of, when it comes to the lachas of Trumos and Maisos, it's very important to know what is Koveh. At what point do I need to start worrying about taking off Trumos and Maisos? So there's a concept where an achilas arai, something which is only like a snack and not a regular meal, is mutter to eat before I take off Trumos and Maisos. I don't have to take off Trumos and Maisos if I'm just having a snack from the fruit in my produce in my fields. That would be okay. However, once it's an achilas keva, that is going to be usher for me and I have to take off Trumos and Maisos. Another thing that's Koveh for Maiser is bringing it into a chatzer, and even eating a snack at that point would be usher because that's a kvias for Trumas and Maisers, and therefore you would have a chiyav to then take off the Trumas and Maisers. Another problem is going to be Nigmar Malach, when it's finished, when it's completely finished, that is going to be an issue, and different things like Meruach, piling it, is something that's subject to make the Maisers bring it into your bias. Ruah Pnei HaBayis is going to create an issue of Trumas and Maisers. All of those things are going to be something which is Koveah for Trumas and Maisers. Another thing which is going to be considered significant is Shabbos. Shabbos is considered a significant thing, and therefore even a snack on Shabbos is going to be upgraded to the status of something that's more Chashuv, and therefore just designating something for Shabbos creates it for a need for Trumas and Maisos because it's something which is considered Chashuv. That is a Shaila. What about Yamta? Does Yamta have the same effect of Shabbos of creating a Schiyah for Trumas and Maisos? A big Macholkas in the Rishonim. But either way, that is the din with regards to Shabbos and eating from produce for Achilas Keva before it's fully processed. That's only in an Isser Derabanan. According to Midaraisa, if something has to be finished in order to be Chayav in Trumas and Maisos, and also so to bring it into the house, that would be Chayav on a level of Daraisa. A Chatzer is a Machlokes Rishonim, whether that's Daraisa Derabanan, and for sure Shabbos is only Derabanan to be, according to Rambam, that Shabbos is for sure only Derabanan to be Mechayav in Trumas and Maisos. Those are basic halacha for what creates the Chiyav of Shabbos of fruits to become subject to Trumas and Maisos. So now, Tananas, we're learning that with that background in mind, we learn in that Mishnah, Tinoka Shetamnu Te'enim Erev Shabbos. If children hid figs in the field prior to Shabbos with the intention of consuming them on Shabbos, V'shachru V'lo Yisru, but they forgot and they did not take off Trumos, then L'motzei Shabbos Lo Yochlu Ela Imken Yisru. Then after Shabbos, they're not allowed to eat them as a snack unless they take off Trumas and Maisers, because at the end of the day, now you're dealing with Shabbos, as we mentioned. The figs were designated by children for the uses of Shabbos, and therefore, you're not allowed to eat them even as a snack anymore, because that creates significance, and therefore, they're going to be Chayav and Trumas and Maisers. Why couldn't you just say this halacha of a adult, l'chora? The Mishnah is telling you, b'feresh chiddush, that a child has the das to his Maisa, can establish something for Trumas and Maisers. That's what the Shaila is. Can a katan take off Trumas and Maisers? So the Rambam and the Ikvos of the Shulchan Aruch says, yes, Shulchan Aruch, based on this Gemara, L'chor is a Beferish Gemara here, that says that you would be able to have significance to create Trumos and Maestros, the Chiyah for Trumos and Maestros. However, the Gra over there in Shulchan Aruch disagrees and says that they can't. So that Rav Chaim Kanievsky wonders, is it safe for Derech Hamuna? He's Metame on the Gra, based on this Gemara, seems to be Beferish, that their actions are be significant. He gives a Nukimta, maybe to try to answer for the Gra, but he definitely thinks the Pashas of the Gemara, Pashas of our Gemara right now, is that we see clearly even a child, like the Chiddush that we're mentioning right now, even a child has the ability to create this Chiyah for Trumos and Maestros. So now that is what the first half the that Mishnah tells us in Maestros. However, there also is another Mishnah. So it's not Hami. We also learned in the Mishnah over there. That's actually earlier. There was that one's the fourth parak. Now we're in the third parak of Maestros. Hamavir te'ene mechater liktos bane benovso olchem in arai. Someone is spreading figs in his courtyard to dry them. So then his children and his people who live in his house are allowed to snack on them. Upturim, they're not yet going to be chayev in Trumos and Maestros, and in Maestros specifically because the figs process is not yet completed. So therefore, it's not going to be chayev in Maestros yet. Even though the figs are completely ripe, since they will be dried out, and therefore, they're not considered completed, and therefore, they're considered yilad of achilas harai. So the first Mishnah taught that the Shabbos creates a chiyuv for Maestros. The second Mishnah taught that although the courtyard produces produce to be chayev in Maestros, it's true only if you're producing it when it's as food that's complete. Even though courtyard generally, a chatzar generally creates a chiyuv for Maestros. So the Gemara asks now, based on that, Bai minei Rava mirav Nachman. Rava asked Rav Nachman, Shabbos mao shit kabe muktzah lemaiser. When it comes to halacha of Shabbos, will it create produce of muktzah, meaning it just means something that not a fruit which is not yet completed? Will it now establish it as something that's going to be, we're talking about ordinary figs for sure, not a snack on them. But what about if it's a fruit which is not yet finished yet, and the Mishnah doesn't tell us whether or not you have now established it as being complete and you're going to be chayev and maestros or not? Is it similar to a chatzar, or is it something which is something that's more machmer, and then you would have the status of maestro, you have to take off, you'd not be allowed to eat it for, even if it's not yet fully, bedavar shalom nigmar malacha, when something produce which is not yet finished, has not been completed, what's the halacha? That's what the Gemara is wondering right now. Do we say the pasuk says in Yeshayahu that you should make Shabbos a pleasure? We have halachas about oneg Shabbos and right oneg Shabbos, kibbutz Shabbos. That's one of the things. Oneg Shabbos, a person's supposed to enjoy different things on Shabbos. A person's supposed to have extra desserts, things that he likes. There's a concept of oneg Shabbos. So you should have Shabbos as a pleasure. Kava, so the Shabbos, it'll establish it as a pleasure. It's impossible to eat something as a mere snack. Everything's considered, it's interesting. It's like achilas kevel. I don't know if anyone talks about this. It like makes it more choshev. It makes it achilas kevel no matter what, to take off shumas or maestro, to take off maestros at least. The afila b'davar shalonig mar malachto, even for bonus, this process is not yet complete. That meaning, it should be more choshev than just the chatzar. No, only stop something that the dates or whatever that were I was allowed to eat as a snack, but they're fully complete now that I have them on Shabbos, that already makes them that there's a chashiv. But it's not going to be. But the second side of this is that you can't tell me that the date which was not fully dried out yet is now considered fully dried because Shabbos came along. That the second side of this topic is that it doesn't establish an obligation to take off Meister on this. So Amar Leir, I'm not going to respond to Rava. Shabbos Kova, Shabbos does establish an obligation to take off the Maestros. Bein bedavar shenigmar melachta, both of this processing was completed. Bein bedavar shenigmar melachta, whether it was processed was not completed yet. So if it's since he didn't say asfar or anything like that, he just assumed that it would create just this higher status, even higher than a chatzar, and it's something in which case you would have a chiyuv to take off Maestros, even if it wasn't complete yet. Rava says, Amar Leiv, ima Shabbos dimin a chatzar. Well, you didn't bring me a proof from anything like that, so why? I have a good comparison. It should be similar to a courtyard. Ma chatzar in a kovas, just like we just mentioned, a courtyard doesn't establish an obligation further than the fact that it's not ready yet. Yes, if you bring it to the courtyard of something that was ready, was full, so then it creates a chiyuv to take off maestros. However, what about when it comes to something which is not, when it comes to a Shabbos, so there, if it's something that's not ready yet, rather, something which is not yet completed, so too, you don't have to take off maestros. Same thing with Shabbos. Shabbos also should not establish something except for produce which was processing has been completed. So I'm not going to respond to that. Amar Lei, he responds, Limud Arach Yabedinu Naiv Masorah, that Shabbos Kovas, Bein Medavar Shinim Malachto, Bein Medavar Shinim Malachto. Whether the process is completed or not, I have a Masura that now Shabbos is so machmir and so chashuv that it creates a chiyuv of maestros even on something that was not completed yet. So the Gemara says, Amar Marzutra Breder of Nachman, Richa Sitra of Nachman, Af Anan Amatanina, we also learned in our Mishnah, which said, Ve'od Amar Abelezer said another thing, Omid Adam Alamukta, a person is allowed to stand over Mukta. Is a lot of standard. We're trying to bring a proof now from our Mishnah, which clearly is talking about something that had not been completed yet, because then otherwise it wouldn't be a Shiloh of Mukta. We're talking about something that wasn't completed yet. Erev Shabbos b'Shvius, specifically on Erev Shabbos of a Shvius, and designated food for Shabbos. Taima the Shvius to la bar Yisroel. This implies that the reason that the produce will not be eaten on Shabbos is because Shvius, it's a year of Shvius, which therefore you don't have the halachas yet. However, b'Shar Shnei Shavua hachanami da'aser, on other years where you would have to take off Shumas or Maestros, then the produce, even if it's not fully complete yet, lechor it's a good raya for the Mishnah that would be an issue of taking off Shumas or Maestros. and that would be a koveya for Shabbos, even if it's something that's not yet complete. We have a raya for the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, my time of what's the reason that it'd be usher to eat those prazos? Just fleshing out what I just said. La Mishnah to Shabbos kova. The Shabbos is koveya, even if something that wasn't complete yet, is going to be chayav in Trumos and Maisers, and therefore our Mishnah specifically brought the case of Shviyas and not the example of Shabbos. The Gemara says, no, you don't have to bring that. That's what the Mishnah is talking about. Shani Asam. There, it's different in our Mishnah because Kevin de Amar Mikan Ani Ochel Amachar. Since he said, from here I'm going to eat till tomorrow, Kavel Elayi. Therefore, you established a more chamar obligation. I'm taking off the Trumos and Maisers, and therefore the declaration causes the produce to become usher. Not the fact that it was Shabbos, but the fact that you're designating it is therefore showing that you want to eat it. And you've granted its status as a food, Rashi says, and therefore you're showing its significance, and therefore any eating of it would be considered that something that's chashuv, it's like a regular meal, even if the process is not complete, you established it. Nothing to do with Shabbos. The fact that you kore alei Hashem, that's what created the chiyuv, not the fact that it's Shabbos itself. So the Gemara says, ihachi though, if that's the explanation of the Mishnah of the years other than the Shemitah year, then when my area of Shabbos, why does the Mishnah specifically discuss the case of Shabbos? The fact that a Shabbos has no effect on the halachas, it's the fact that the guy designated it. The fact that I designated it is what's creating the over here. Therefore, Shabbos and Yantiv has nothing related with our mission. Seemingly, was making it proper about Hachana with regards to Muktzah. Has nothing to do with this halacha. It's a halacha of whether you're establishing something for Trumas and Maizos would create a kvias or not. So, therefore, Afila b'chol nami, even on a weekday, this is also true. So the Gemara answers, Ha Kamash Malan. So therefore the Mishnah is discussing another Chiddush. The Tevel Muchanu Tzil Shabbos, that Tevel is considered prepared for Shabbos. Tevel is something which Trumas and Maisers have not been taken off yet. Even a coin is not allowed to eat Tevel. There's a Chiyuv of Misa Pashas also for a coin who didn't take off Trumas and Maisers on produce yet. So Tevel, I would have thought, has no usage of Shabbos. It should be Mukta. Nope. We're saying that it's Muchanu Tzil Shabbos, that theoretically it's only... It's not mukta. Why? Because she already talked now. If someone violated halacha, it's a very interesting thing. Why that should be? Lechora and derabanan should be mukta, but it's not. That if someone violated halacha, because it's only derabanan because it's nira kimasakin that we take off trumas and maizos on Shabbos. It's usher to take off trumas and maizos. So since if a person actually did it, his halacha, what he did is going to take effect. So therefore, masukan, it's going to take effect, and therefore we're assuming that Mishnah is teaching you that therefore the it's teaching a different halacha that when it comes to tevel, it would not be mukta necessarily on Shabbos by implying that during non shviyas year the produce may not be eaten only because it wasn't taken off yet, but not because it's mukta. Therefore, the Mishnah is teaching you this chiddush that someone violated the halacha. It wouldn't be considered a problem of Muktzah Makwas Isser, and therefore the designation would be considered Mukhan and make it remove its status of Muktzah, even though you didn't take off Trumas and Maisos yet. So that would be what we'd be learning from this Mishnah. So now, it's a little bit, the Gemara over is understanding that our Mishnah holds that declaring something to be, to food obligation to take off Trumas and Maisos if it's possibly completed. The Gemara now is learning who is the Tana of our Mishnah. The Gemara says, V'halo Musra Choser, turning on to the next time in our Lamad Hamad Aleph, but in the case of an oral declination to use the produce, the fact that you can return it, is the produce never actually removed the status from the original place. So how are you allowed to do that? So the Gemara says, V'shamina leidah Rabbi Eliezer, jama kolecha de mosher chozer lo kava. We learn that according to Rabbi Eliezer, he holds that whenever something is extra, you can return the person to establish an obligation from taking off the true master meister. So the Gemara says, meaning we're talking about over there, that something, according to Rabbi Eliezer, he holds that even when someone does a malacha that makes it look like he's doing you produce for achilas keva, he takes a portion of the tevel produce and places it in front of himself, since the leftovers can be returned to their place of origin, is not necessarily considered a something which is kovah for Trumas or Maisos. So then an oral designation without any act, Lechora, should not establish obligation to take off Trumas or Maisos. It's not what we learn in the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Maisos tells us, Hanotel Zesim Minamatan, if someone takes olives from a vat, so then the olives are piled in a large vat and they're pressed so they become warm and soft. And what's halacha? Tovel achas achas melech ve'ochel. You're allowed to dip them one at a time to salt without taking off maestros. They're piled in a large vat. You're allowed to take off one at a time because that's considered lo nigmar malacha. It's not finished stage yet. Ve'im tevel v'nas in the fun of asra asara chayev. If you ever dip 10 olives into salt and then place them before himself, then that's considered gemar malacha and that would be asr. So Rabbi Lezer Omer, Mina Matan Torah chayev. Rabbi Lezer said if you take the olives from a tar vat, then he's obligated to take off trumas and maestros. However, the Gemara is going to bother us in a moment. And minamatan mitame potter ever, if he took them from a tame vat, he's exempt from taking off trumas and maizos. Neshu mazir samuter, because he can return the leftovers from the vat, since all the olives are in the vat already. Tame, returning them, even after salting them, will not cause any loss. And therefore, they originally take the olives, he intended only to use some of them, and that would not be a problem of trumas and maizos. Versus avina, but we asked on this a question of according to Lezer. Maishna resha, maishna seifa. What's the difference between the beginning of the Mishnah, which says that the case of the Torah vat at the end of the Mishnah, and the case of the tame vat at the end of the day? So Rabbi Lezer says that what should make the difference regards to Trumas and Maisos over here? It's a Gemar Malach or not? What does it matter if the vat was Tar or Tameh? The beginning of the Mishnah is talking about a case of a Tar vat and a Tameh person. The Lamatzi Mahadaleh, you cannot return the olives to the vat because he would be making them Metameh. tame. So he's explained the entire Mishnah referring to a tame person who removes the olives. Therefore, in the case of a tar vat, the olives will certainly not be returned because he doesn't want to be mitame the olives that are tar. Therefore, he'll have to remove them from the vat, any other olives that he touched, the time to remove the olives. In that case, we can assume that he tends to eat everything that he removed, and since that is considered a regular achilas keva, that would be why it's chayav in Chumas Samaisus at that point. Seifa matan tame vegarve tame. The end of the mission is dealing with the case of a tame vat and a tame person. The matze mehadrele, because he can return the olives to the vat without causing any loss. Therefore, the olives are considered only a snack and is not considered obligated in Chumas Samaisus. So what do we see though? We see from this mission that it's clear that according to Rabbi Eliezer, our Mishnah does not hold that a non-shmita year, the produce would not have to be taken off Chumas Samaisus because of an oral declaration, since in that case too, the leftovers could be returned to their place of origin. So what's going on over here? So my answer is masnisa nami mukta tar vegarve tame. Our Mishnah also is talking about a case of a mukta food, which is tar, and a tame person, the lomati madrele, he could not return the leftovers to the original place of origin if he had actually taken them. And that's what the Gemara is answering now. The Gemara says, no, v'alo mechusar v'omdinin. Our Mishnah, the fruits are already also talking about they were returned, even without any action, since they were not physically removed. So what's going on over here? So therefore, we'll pick up with Ella Marvashi, the answer for the Gemara, right into far down, and the Amar and Ezra Shem will pick up with that in tomorrow's daf.